We would snowshoe and cross-country ski in northern Manitoba in like minus 50. And it was no big deal. It was so much fun. But we'd been on the road traveling for a long time, hadn't been home in a long time. And we were in a truck in a parking lot. It had snowed 4 feet of snow. We were stuck. And it's like we wanted to give up kind of situation. And we were just so grumpy. And I don't like being grumpy. And we looked at each other. We're like, what are we doing?
Welcome to Here's How It's Done, brought to you by the Women's Enterprise Center of Manitoba, the go-to place for women looking to start or expand their businesses. I'm your host, Kate Friesen. I'm an entrepreneur too. I've been in that parking lot. Well, metaphorically speaking, anyway. Sometimes in my business, it feels like I am stuck under a mountain of work or up against a problem that feels unsolvable. Basically, not remembering what it is that I loved to do so much that I created a business just so I could keep doing it. Feeling so grumpy. Have you been there? If you have, or you are bracing yourself for one of those moments, because you know in business they're going to come, you are in the right place. This podcast brings you real-life stories from enterprising women. Women like Lise Brown, who along with her business partner Sarah Harrison, ended up in that literal parking lot in northern Manitoba early on in their business. Stuck in a truck, snowed under, overworked, and asking each other,
what are we doing? Who are we? Like, we have a value of having fun. And we just looked at each other. It's like, no more complaining. That's it. We're going to look at the bright side of as many things as we can. And we did. It was like instant.
I know there is no one surefire recipe for getting back to that bright side. But every time I meet an entrepreneur and find out how they have found their own path to success, on their own terms, I know I'm not alone, and neither are you. On today's show, you'll meet one of those pathfinders breaking new trails in a business that helps others move forward.
Okay, I'm Lise Brown, and I co-own Momenta with Sarah Harrison. We named our business Momenta because Momenta is the plural of momentum. And so we work with groups moving forward together, and ideally we see some growth and some change. And so Momenta felt like the perfect word.
That growth and change comes through adventuring outdoors, hiking, biking, paddling, and snowshoeing, even when it's minus 50. Momenta provides outdoor opportunities that are open and welcoming to everyone, regardless of shape, size, class, or skill level. Adventure therapy programs, and outdoor education that's grounded in personal well-being and social justice. 17 years ago, when Lise was in her early 20s, that was a combination that she couldn't find anywhere else. But her love of the outdoors starts even further back. So I'm going to start by going back to when you were a kid and a moment or an experience that you carry with you into the work that you do now. And if you can get really specific, because sometimes it's in those specific moments that we can really enter in with you.
The one moment I remember the most clearly was in my mother's garden. My mom grew lots and lots and lots of vegetables in the yard, in the backyard. And I remember feeling like the plants were like walls to a fort. But I would go in there and eat all the snow peas. And just like everything else disappeared other than me in this snow pea fort. And I don't know why that story continues to like pop up in my memories. It's a really, really important piece of who I've become, of this settling into the land and feeling really safe on the land, and knowing that the land offers me lots of things, particularly peace and comfort. So, Yeah.
Lise can trace her connection to the land to those very early days in the garden. But when she landed a job as a teen, lifeguarding at camp, it really set her path. In fact, she told me you can learn almost everything you need to know in life and business from working at camp. See how many things you can get through the list. What do you learn that's a life skill and a work skill?
At summer camp?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
By working at summer camp.
Yes. So many things. You learn about managing your own emotions, regulating yourself because you're working 24 hours a day. You learn about peers and friendships, eating when you have to eat, and having a shower when you have 2 minutes to do that. But then you learn like so many skills about moving your body on the land. You learn how to climb, which means you're learning about ropes and knots. And you learn about paddling a canoe in a really effective way. You learn about weather systems, driving big vehicles full of big things. And it feels really good because you're constantly learning something new and being challenged. And I think I know everything from summer camp. I'm sure that's not the truth, but it feels like you're pushed quickly because you need to learn how to do all of these things. And I learned a lot about being independent and being a hard worker and loving being outside. Like you can work outside all day. That's so cool. And I always thought, like, this doesn't have to be just summer camp. Couldn't this be my life?
Lise worked for 6 summers at Camp Stevens, lifeguarding, leading canoe trips, learning all those great skills she just listed. And along the way, she met her future business partner. Sarah and her both wanted full-time jobs in Winnipeg, working outdoors. And it didn't take them long to find out how challenging that was to find. Not just the job, but to really find a place they fit in and that fit with what they valued about outdoor adventuring.
As a young woman wanting to be in the outdoor industry, there was always this sense of not quite belonging. And I didn't necessarily put my finger on it until I realized that everyone who was teaching me how to do the things were men. I noticed that everybody paid attention to the men who did that sport. And so if you wanted to learn, you kind of had to join into that. But I didn't love it. And the feminist in me really thought about what it is that I wanted to feel like on the land. And I think, you know, I adventured with my dad a lot, and my dad is a soft, humble man. And I believe that men can be like that. It's not necessarily about men, but it's about creating spaces where everybody feels like they can do well and be successful. And in some of the courses I was taking, I felt like if I couldn't do it as well as other people, or if I couldn't pick up a boat and put it on my head, I just wasn't going to make it. There was always this feeling of, am I good enough? And also this feeling of, who's my role model? I can't find them. I see some role models, but they don't look like me. And so the turning point at this conference was like, whoa!
Okay, what was the conference?
The conference was the Association for Experiential Education. And I was in Tucson, Arizona. Which is so weird. But anyway, in my head, most women in the field or who were adventuring looked the same. Like they all had the same body type and they all, you know, were thin and wearing like the perfect clothes. But at this conference, like all the people just looked like people. And they all look different, but all were fiercely fighting for social justice within the field. And that was the piece that was like, ooh, these women look different and they sound different and they're confident. They were saying the things that I didn't know how to say. to the male instructors that were teaching me or to the spaces that I was in. And we could call those colonial spaces if we want to name it, where something's off and not everyone feels included. And I knew there was better ways to do this. Yeah, I think it was a combination of them looking like real women, big, small, tall, short, beautiful in all their different ways, but also the words that were coming out of their mouth. I just connected to that instantly. And it was about social justice, land justice, equality, like equity and feminism and all the things that I wanted to see in the outdoor industry that were missing. I think what happened at that conference too, I was with Sarah, is we connected more deeply because we both found role models that we didn't know existed. And like the juices flowed and the conversations happened and the like bravery of saying, should we try this, happened at that conference. And the rest is history. It happened very quickly. We started a business within a year. It felt really quick. And I was in my early 20s. So yeah, it was pretty cool.
So it's such a great time to do something because it's those formative years where you actually, okay, I'll speak for myself, where I actually didn't know what I didn't know. So
yes.
I jumped into things and some of it was great and some of it, you know, you learn incredible stuff. So those early days, you start a business, you're in your early 20s and you're breaking some new ground in terms of a women-led business in the outdoor field. What was one thing back then that you went, whoa, I hadn't thought about this?
Yeah, well, there was many things I hadn't thought about. But I think the biggest learning was trust, like people trusting us to do a really great job, but also trusting the business model that we chose to go with. We're a private business. And so when we think about offering services, there needs to be a huge level of trust for people to want to pay for those services and know that they're going to get the outcomes that they're looking for, which we don't, you know, I haven't worked in nonprofit, but I've worked with not-for-profits. There's a different level of trust, I think, when it comes to being a private business. You have to prove yourself a little bit.
Yeah. And I'm curious because I do a lot of work with nonprofits and with and meet a lot of people who are founders like you are, but founders of nonprofits.
Yes.
Who've gone the route of, I believe really strongly in this and I'm going to start a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. For the nature of the work that you do, what made you choose a business model?
You know, one of the reasons why we chose this business model was because it felt like we could protect our vision. So two women, early 20s, with this vision that we knew in our hearts that it was a good idea. We wanted to protect it. And so maybe that's a selfish thing to do, but it felt like the world of boards at that time was men. And that felt really scary for a group of people sitting at a table to direct our vision. That didn't sit right with us. Also, we had worked for other businesses that were private, and that felt okay. And, you know, the freedom of being a private business owner is nice. And I probably feel that more now than I did at the beginning, of being able to make a decision and go with it and not be held back by a board, not being held back by funders, feels like the right way to move forward. I have so much respect for not-for-profits. I've sat on many boards. It's not that I don't admire that business model. It just didn't feel like the right fit for us.
Lise and Sarah took that vision and formed a business partnership. And in those early years, like a lot of new business owners, they did everything themselves.
Being a business owner and a frontline worker at the same time is challenging. So in the first 6 years of the business, it was just the two of us for most of the time. We would hire people when we needed to, but ultimately we were doing all of the work. And we had been on the road for close to 6 weeks.
Doing?
There's something called the Frontier Games in the Frontier School Division. And it's sports specific. And the children learn a skill and then they go to the Frontier Games and they do their best. It's outdoor sports, things like snowshoeing and cross-country skiing. And so there was some communities that wanted that skill developed, and there wasn't anyone in the community who could teach that skill. And so they found out about us and invited us to the community. And so we would snowshoe and cross-country ski in northern Manitoba in like minus 50. And it was no big deal. It was so much fun. But we'd been on the road traveling for, yeah, a long time, hadn't been home in a long time. And it just felt like things were happening. We would, you know, lose something, or the roads were bad, or, you know, you can imagine all the things that can happen when you're on the road in the winter in northern Manitoba for 6 weeks. And we were just so grumpy. And I don't like being grumpy. And we were in a truck in a parking lot. It had snowed 4 feet of snow. We were stuck. And it's like we wanted to give up kind of situation. And we looked at each other. We're like, what are we doing? Who are we? Like, we have a value of having fun. And we just looked at each other. It's like, no more complaining. That's it. We're done complaining. We're going to look at the bright side of as many things as we can. And we did. It was like instant. We both felt the same way, but hadn't said it out loud. And, you know, it takes me back to, you had asked me my best business advice is like, I wouldn't have done this by myself. I wouldn't have done it without Sarah. Being on the same page with someone in a business is such a cool feeling, and makes you accountable to someone else. And so in the moment, it probably felt really small, but the fact that I'm still telling this story is pretty cool. And that I remember that moment of like, we have to do better than this for ourselves.
Doing better for themselves and for their business meant taking things to the next level. Not only did they incorporate, they went a significant step further.
So I talked a little bit about this idea of people trusting us as a private business. I learned about B Corps through Patagonia. Patagonia is a huge outdoor clothing company that lots of people know about. And they've been a B Corp for many years. And that's kind of the first time I heard about B Corp. It sparked my interest and started researching it. And it's about being transparent. It's about telling people that you're doing good work. And I already knew we were doing good work, but maybe I wasn't telling anyone. I think the people that come to our programs know that we do good work, but the general public might not know that we're doing good work. So I immediately connected to the model of being an ethical business owner and making sure that I'm being accountable to something bigger than us. B Corps are a pretty lengthy certification process. So, you know, I am not surprised that there are not a lot of B Corps in the world because it takes effort. And the outcome is unclear to me. Does it increase people wanting services from Momenta? I'm not sure. So the outcome for me is about really thinking through our policies and really thinking through ourselves as employers, pushing us to be better. So during the B Corp certification process, you can see the potential of who you can become. And so you can continuously add more to the ethical business ownership that you currently have. And it feels real good. So, and I've met really cool people that are also B Corps and believe in this model of being private, but also being transparent at the same time. But the B Corp is an international thing. So you could connect with B Corps all over the world. I think one of the challenges that we experience with B Corp and kind of creating that community is time, because I'm a busy person. So,
okay, yeah. What do you do with your time in your business? What is your business like now? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Momenta has so many avenues of services. I think one of the things that we learned early on is that if we want to make this work, we have to do lots of different things. In my brain, they're all connected. Our main goal is thinking about reducing barriers to getting outside. But also, once we're outside, we're thinking about every single person having a positive experience and a successful experience while also challenging themselves. So we want to put people just a little bit outside of their comfort zones to realize their potential and the power and strength that they have. And we do that through adventure sport. And so we primarily do hiking, snowshoeing, mountain biking, and paddling. So those are the sports that we focus on. And so when I think about what Momenta does, we start like with our little community here in Wolseley. And our little community here in Wolseley has some programs that are just for kiddos who live here in Wolseley. And they start at age 4. And so we have an after-school program every day from 3:30 to 5:30 where they're outside for 2 hours. And they're going to natural spaces in our community. Yesterday, it was minus 45 with the wind chill. And they were playing outside after school. And I just think that's so cool. And I think that's so neat that we do that. Nature Club is a really great opportunity for employment. So young people looking for employment at Momenta can enter Nature Club as an everyday job. And it's a great place for them to learn about relationship building with children. It's a great place to learn about what do I need to wear in all weather to feel confident outside for 2 hours. I start there is like, what's my local community? What are we doing here in Wolseley? And then we work with communities, agencies. And I think the cool thing about Momenta is that we do some marketing, but it's certainly not our forte. And Sarah and I at the beginning always said, we want people to come to us. We're going to do this word of mouth thing. And it's worked. Because what happens in our programs is people feel stuff in their whole bodies. And when we feel stuff in our whole bodies, we want more. Because it feels real good to have a holistic experience where our body feels challenges, our mind feels challenged. And we're also connecting to people and the land. And so that creates really great memories and people want more of that. So word of mouth marketing has worked. And we have worked with more than 25 First Nations communities that have asked for our services. People come to us because there's a gap in something. So it might be a gap in, well, we have all these canoes, but no one knows how to use them. Or we have all these canoes, but we really need some life jackets, some PFDs. And so can you help us get some funding for that? Can you help us get onto the water and learn how to use those boats? And so people come to us for outdoor education needs, adventure therapy needs. Adventure therapy is thinking about how to get to therapeutic outcomes using a holistic approach through adventure sport or activity.
You have a master's in social work.
I do. Yeah.
Did you get that because you saw the gap?
I graduated with my master's the year after Momenta was born.
Okay.
And so...
You already saw the relationship.
I saw the relationship. And that is a personal connection that I had with like, oh, the land is my best friend. I can tell it anything. And it's always there. And it's everybody who goes outside feels the benefits of going outside. It's getting people to try. And that's what we're trying to do.
What's a group or a person that you remember without giving like personal details where you were able to walk us alongside them to lift a barrier between them and the land or between them and the outside? Mm-hmm. What's like to paint a picture of what that means and what kind of barriers people might be facing?
Barriers are so layered because it starts with ourselves and our brains telling us that we can't do something. And so we can change that. We can change our mindset, which is really, really cool. And we can make new neural pathways to make ourselves believe in ourselves. And I would say that that challenge is maybe more prominent in women who want to go outside and be adventurers. And Moment exists because of that. Like, I don't want anyone to feel like they can't do this. Barriers can get really solvable. Like, my feet are cold. Oh, we have a solution for that. We teach people about how to dress for the weather, and not only teach them, but offer them all the things that they need. So we don't say, bring wool socks and your winter boots. Arrive how you are, and we will give you wool socks and boots. Because we know that outdoor gear is expensive. It's inaccessible. It's a huge barrier. And so when we can identify something that we can change, we do. But then there's the barrier of like going outside the city to a place that has forest. I remember countless trips in a car, like, I've never been outside of the city. Is this the perimeter? And then like, whoa, there's no buildings here. And then, you know, entering a forest and immediately like people are at peace and they'll say, I feel different here. And sometimes they can't name it, but we know that it calms our body to walk through a forest. And so we're offering these opportunities. When a group comes to us and has a request, we provide everything possible. And that's what we're trying to offer, is this very specialized service that I think lots of people want to incorporate it into their business or their agency, but they don't know how, and they don't have all the stuff. And so that's what we can offer, is name a barrier and I can try and fix it so that we can do this.
So you're also running a business and you're hiring people, which means you have to keep bringing money in order to pay your staff, in order to survive. I guess if there's conflict sometimes between what people need from you, what they're asking for, and what you're able to give.
So having enough resources.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I had that conflict a lot more in our first 10 years than I have in the last 7. I think because in the first 10 years, we were figuring out how to do this. We were doing really great programming, but there was times where it's like, whoa, do we have enough money? You know, or do we know how to do budgets? Are we doing budgets right? And so we learned by doing, which is, the model that we use at work is learning by doing through experiential learning. But being grounded and confident as a business owner feels really good. Like the last 5 years feels way different than it did at the beginning. But being a business owner, you're always worried about that conflict of like, can I do the work I want to do to the best of my ability and have enough money to do it and pay our staff well and not lose our staff to be sustainable? We want to hire people and we want to keep them. We don't want to have turnover. We want people who want to work with us and want them to stay. I can't tell a story about a time in the last few years where it's like, we can't do this because we don't have the resources, because we've gotten really good at having the resources and making sure the resources are sustainable. Mm. Yeah.
So if you can make it through that first 10 years of business, let's go back then to that question. Like you've given people a couple of really good pieces of advice about finding people that you can trust, finding a partner that you can work with. Mm-hmm. And then you said, as a business owner, you still always worry. Mm. So how do you address that in your own life? So you've been a business owner and you are a mom. Mm-hmm. Those two things alone are both demanding roles. Mm-hmm. How do you carry that worry, or how would you tell someone like me? Because I'm like, yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
I know that worry, that sense of risk. How do you carry that and find the joy that I really see you having in the work that you do?
Yeah. As I get older, I realize like that balance between personal and professional is important. But there's also elements of Momenta being my personal, because it's just who I've been for the last, you know, 16 years. And I don't think it's for everyone. but when you have a business that makes you feel happy, it's okay because it's worth it, right? And it has to balance out the worry of like, where's the next check coming from? What's the next thing that we're going to do? Are we doing this right? Like all of the worries that you have when you've created something and created something that's very specific to what I believe the world could use right now. You worry about, is that something that people want? Something people will continue to be curious about. But if the worries don't balance out with the joy and the happiness and the success and the outcomes you're looking for, then it's probably not going to last very long. We haven't talked about momentous values. There's five of them. And they are to have fun, take care of each other, be respectful, join in, and be safe. And I often teach people about value-led businesses and why I think it's so important. Those values happen at Momenta, but they happen in my house down the street. And they happen in my staff's houses. And it happens in their peer relationships. And I think because those values are so strong, it's okay that it's crept into my personal life because now those values are my son's values. And so it all feels really connected. If I needed very clear professional boundaries, this probably wouldn't have worked for so long. Yeah. And you know, there's staff that talk about Momenta feeling like a family and just that connection. And I think we've worked really hard to hone that and create that space. So it doesn't feel like work all the time, even if I'm thinking about it in the middle of the night.
So tell me, and don't overthink this, about a moment in the last while that you've just had a lot of fun, because it seems like it's the antidote to that worry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Oh my gosh, every day at Momenta is pretty fun, to be honest.
Oh, I want to come work there.
Yeah. I would say, like, we meet as a staff team every 2 weeks. This past week at our staff meeting, the staff team were identifying, like, the world is a really wild place right now. And to connect with people and be with people is actually fairly challenging for a lot of us. But there was just so much gratitude. And we were actually half on Zoom and half in a room. So there was about six staff on the screen and six of us in a room. And we were playing a game together. And a big part of what we do is doing something and then reflecting on it. Like, why was that meaningful? And the like overwhelming thread was, I just had a lot of fun. And I'm not having a lot of fun in a lot of other places. Or it's hard to find fun right now. So that balances out the worry. Mm.
What does growth in your business mean? When someone says, how are you growing your business? How do you answer that question?
That's an easy answer for me. It's my current B Corp goal. And so B Corp has helped me understand what growth means for me. Growth for me means having 8 full-time employees that are salaried on benefits. And it might feel like a small goal, but for Momenta, that is huge. We have 3 full-time employees right now. And so our goal is within the year to be at this other place. Employment has always been the thing that like got me excited of growing. Like Sarah and I had a good time, the two of us. But when you grow and you bring other perspectives and other personalities and other creative brains, it feels like you're growing. It has nothing to do with finances. It has to do with like 8 people having great jobs that they love and doing good work. I know that's tied to finances because I need to make the money to pay them. But growth feels for me like sustainable employment. And I know that with sustainable employment, we can probably do more because people will be more connected to the business because they'll be present more often. when you shift from an hourly employee to a salaried employee, that's growth. Growth in terms of salary, but growth in terms of time and space to be creative together and be collaborative, and not feel like people are watching their timesheet clock. I see a lot of freedom in that. I'm excited to get to that point. So that's growth for me today.
Before I said goodbye to Lise, I really wanted to find out what's changed in outdoor adventuring and education since they started their business 17 years ago.
You know, sometimes I think a lot has changed because I've surrounded myself at Momenta with the values that I believe in. And so the people at Momenta are the people that I want to be in the field with. But then I step outside of Momenta and a lot of things are the same. I mean, there's always progress. There's always change. But there's still lots of colonial systems within the camps community that not everyone feels safe. Not everyone feels like they can be themselves there, that their identity is not accepted in those spaces. And so that is disappointing. When you're taking risks outside, that's already really scary. And then you add the layer on of my identity doesn't fit in here too, then why would you return to do that again? So it's just like these layers of barriers that I consistently see that I wish could be eliminated. And a lot of times people end up at Momenta because they've had an experience like that, where they didn't feel like they fit in, where they didn't feel like they belonged, where their identity wasn't accepted. And so I'm happy to offer that, but I wish other people would offer that as well. I think we've done that at Momenta, and I hope I inspire others.
That's Lise Brown, the co-owner of Momenta. You can check out more about what this certified B Corp business has to offer by heading over to experiencemomenta.com. Come on, be adventurous. You are listening to Here's How It's Done, brought to you by the Women's Enterprise Center of Manitoba. The center offers a business planning course, enterprise financing, and many other workshops and resources available to women-owned and partnered businesses throughout the province. Find out more at wecm.ca. That's wecm.ca. You can subscribe to Here's How It's Done through your favorite podcast app. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing and giving us a review. Theme music for this show is by Peter McIsaac. Additional music written and recorded by Charlotte Friesen. And this episode was mastered by Madeline Roger and produced by me. Until next time, I'm Kate Friesen.